You're listening to The Ocho Man, Behind the 8-Ball, only on Ignotainment. Without further ado, the one, the only, Ocho Man.
Hey, hey, my friends. January 12th, Monday. Monday, I'm telling you. Big Cowboy fan, not a very happy day for me today. Depression, you might say. I brought in my long-lost buddy here. Kind of like a guy has a dog. You know, he pets it. And this guy here, I could always count on him. T.O., how you doing out there?
Kind of sad sitting here by you, looking at you. All right. I feel your pain.
Okay.
You referred to me as your dog, so I'm not sure about that.
You know, man's best friend. And we also got my producer here, my other partner, Chris.
How we doing?
Doing good. We're doing good. Could be a lot better. What the fuck, fellas? What the fuck happened yesterday?
A good call on a bad rule. I know you don't want to hear that.
I don't want to hear that. Cut him off right now, Chris, because I'm telling you, didn't I tell you, Chris, last week that there's going to be a fucking makeup call?
No, it was on the show.
It was on the show. I fucking brought it up that it's going to be a makeup call. The guy catches the ball. Dez catches the ball, goes down. You know what? He lunges to the goal line, and then the ball pops loose. I just don't understand. All right, let me hear it. Let me hear it, Owens, or T.O.
Incredibly, you were right on almost all your predictions last week. And the, you know, one ends up destroying you. But
which one was that?
The prediction that the Cowboys were going to get payback from the Detroit game.
I knew it was going to happen. Fellas, I'm not bullshitting with you. I called it last week that there's going to be a makeup call. And here's another thing I called a couple weeks back. I called the SEC championship game. No one wanted fucking Mizzou to win. I'm a Mizzou fan. I knew that they were going to do some bullshit to get rid of the best player from Mizzou's team out of there. They just did not want Mizzou to beat Bama. And next thing you know, Bama doesn't go to the big show. I'm telling you, there's a lot of conspiracy in sports nowadays. Like it or not.
Yeah. No, I mean, I've seen stuff all year about SEC. You know, the SEC referees, you know, having communications with, you know, with others off the field that they haven't ever been able to say for sure who exactly it was, or, you know, there's all kinds of bizarre shit that's going on with officiating. It's money, man.
It's crazy.
It's all money.
It's unfortunate in a great game like yesterday. You know, you're not talking about the fantastic play that Dez Bryant makes at the end of the game. You're not talking about Tony Romo finally shedding the, he's a choke artist. He's not clutch.
I tell you what, that guy deserves to be MVP in my book. Honest to God, you could rip on him all you want, you haters out there. But the guy's been nothing but clutch this year. And fourth down and yard to go, what the fuck you do? You throw a 40-yard pass to Dez. That's ballsy, and the ball lands right in his arms, too. I know Dez made a hell of a play, but I'm telling you right now, that was a great throw. That was a great call. And God bless the Cowboys. I really think that they did great this year. And you know what? It was a makeup call. And now I'm going to end it on that. What's your last call on this one?
I just think it's wrong. I mean, today should have been a happy day for you. Getting your laughs on everybody that talks shit on Romo and your Cowboys. And for a referee to have the headlines the day after and a call, it can't be what the NFL wants at the end of the day. They should be talking about a great game yesterday.
And the thing about this is, realistically looking at it, Seattle versus Dallas, are you kidding me? That would be a Pacquiao-Mayweather fight. I mean, that would be a draw. People know now that, hey, Aaron Rodgers, he's got a bad fucking – he's got a calf. He can't move out of that pocket. People know – and you know what? Seattle knows this now, too. They're going to be
– they will pin their ears back and have eight guys in the box. It will not be fun for the Packers next week.
They'll have a pass rush out of this world, and you watch. Aaron Rodgers will be feeling this by the second half. Anyway, that's what we got there. Hey, Chris, how the hell did we do this weekend, huh?
Oh, you were all over it. All over it, man. I actually have some audio here.
Yeah, you got the audio of that?
Show. Yeah. Hold on. We got to hear this.
We got to hear it, guys. We got to hear it. What date is this one?
Okay, so this is from the 9th on Friday. This is your NHL calls. Okay, hold on. Here we
NHL.
Go.
NHL.
Chicago. The Hawks.
Against Edmonton. They're playing at Edmonton. Who gives a shit? This is going to go over 5.5. I see Chicago alone scoring 5.
At least.
To 6 goals on this one. Yeah,
these guys are good, man.
I like Chicago. That one went 7 goal. I don't think Chicago scored the 5, but I'm telling you, I had the over there.
You had the over.
Go on.
Okay.
Give me some more good news.
Okay.
I don't see how they're betting the over on this one. I don't see this one going to...
Okay.
Which one is this one, Chris?
This is Green Bay and Dallas.
All right.
Here you go.
I don't see how they're betting the over on this one. I don't see this one going to 53.
Yeah.
What the fuck's the matter with these people?
They don't have the insight the Ocho Man has. That's what I keep saying.
It's going to be probably a 24-20 game.
24-20 game.
And you know what? What about Seattle? Seattle game, huh?
Hold on.
Oh, you got
this
something?
This is
else?
The good.
Well, give it to me, babe. Okay, all the good news.
There's so many of them.
So next we got the New England one.
Hold on, our next big play here is Baltimore at New England. Chris, can you hold this 7 for a second? Can you hold it? Too much here for New England. When was this one?
This was Thursday the 8th.
Thursday the 8th. Okay.
Thursday, January 8th.
Folks, if you want my podcast, Thursday, January 8th, it's on my podcast.
All you got to do is go back and listen.
Here we go. Our next big play here is Baltimore at New England. I think -7 is too much here for New England. I definitely like New England to win this game. If you're going to play Moneyline Parlay, if you're going to bet your guy or bet Vegas or whatever, I think New England is the right play on it. But I just don't see a -7.
Okay, here's the big one. You want the big one?
Well, hold up. Before I give you the final score, there was 35-31, and I gave a 34-32. Are you fucking crazy here? This is great shit.
No, you know who? Not you that's crazy. You know, anyone who is not listening to the Ocho Man to get his sports betting picks, that's who's crazy.
All right.
You want your next one?
Yeah, that's fine.
Here's your
away
big one.
Here,
here's
babe.
Your big one.
Our other game here is Carolina taking on Seattle. Yeah. Seattle -11. I just don't see Carolina hanging in here. I think eventually it's all going to be worn out. On the first quarter, you're going to say, wow, Carolina's hanging in. They're tough. But you know what? It's going to be a wear and tear type. It's going to be like a boxer, a heavyweight. Just he's winning these rounds slowly. Next thing, by the 8th or 9th round, he opens up. I'm looking at Seattle winning this one 35-14, 35-17 type of game here. And what do we have on this one, my friend T.O.?
I believe it was 31-17 in favor of the Seahawks.
31-17. Man. I call 35-17 or 35-14. Folks, we're red hot here. We're red hot. I got my people. I listen to the stuff. I know what's going on out there. I know you're saying, oh, you got lucky, but so many goddamn games
game here.
We're connected dot to dot here. You know, that's all I'm saying.
The Ocho Man's on his game here.
Yeah, we're on a roll, and fuck, I just wish my Cowboys would have one and
would you trade your 7-for-8 weekend and your picks for a Cowboys victory?
That's a great question.
Son of a bitch, he put me to the ropes there, didn't he, Chris?
He did. That's why we love him.
You know what? I brought you in here so you could comfort me. You're supposed to be my rover sitting next to me in the living room watching a football. By the way, I had a buddy of mine who used to always play the bookie, okay? And I'd be like, when I visited him, I'd knock on the door, he'd open up and then go right back on the couch, and this fucking dog of his would be him and the dog would be glued into a basketball game like Santa Barbara versus Cal or something like this. And I'd be like, I've never seen a dog and a person just kick back and watch a game like this. And I asked him one time, what the fuck makes this dog watch basketball? And he says, he knows if I lose, he doesn't eat. I'm like, Jesus Christ. The dog fucking knows that if the guy loses, he's not going to eat. So the dog's tuned in to a Santa Barbara Cal game, too.
If I'm the dog, I would be, too, I guess, at that point.
Fuck, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
All right, though. So what were you saying here? What were we saying? I trade my wins for a cow. Ah, fuck, 1 weekend, I don't mind. You know what I'll do? I'll make it like I paid front row seats at this Cowboy game. Whatever I bet, I don't give a shit. I mean, I just have to see the Cowboys do it again one more time before I die. Yeah. Fuck it.
I think they have a lot of pieces in place. I know Murray's a free agent next year. I know there's some decisions to be made. I believe Jason Garrett's contract's up, and there's some rumors about him to Atlanta.
Let me ask you this. You know what? I don't give a shit about Garrett. He didn't even call anything. All he did was give a high five to the guys coming off the field. What I do want to know, though, is
like
Murray.
Sam Bradford in St. Louis.
Yeah. Murray, though, that was a key fumble he made out on the field yesterday. I wonder if that affects his pocketbook for the big picture here.
He had a touchdown in front of him. There was nobody in front of him. Troy Aikman made it very clear that that's a touchdown. If Peppers does not punch the ball out, you know?
Yep.
So, knowing you the way I know you, I have a feeling you're going to say Dez. You want Dez back?
I want Dez back. It really makes Romo look good. Here's the thing about it.
How could you not want Dez?
Here's the thing about it. What he brings to the table is it's not about him just catching a ball. You've really made Beasley look good. You've made your tight end Witten look beautiful.
Terrence Williams.
You're making these guys really stand out, too. You're not just representing yourself. And I know Murray's going to say, well, I've had 1,800 yards rushing. But let me tell you this, though. Let me tell you this about Murray. He fumbles the ball. And I'm a big fan of his backup.
You said that all along.
I've said it all along, and I'm telling you again, he's got a backup that can be a big major factor in this Cowboy lineup here, and that's Randall. I love Randall, and I think Randall, if he gets the opportunity, I think he's going to be a big-time player for the Cowboys. That's what I'm saying here. You can't replace Dez, but you can replace Murray. That's you know, people are going to say, how dare you talk about Murray that way? Well, I'm telling you right now, there were a lot of holes yesterday that he would make contact upon contact. He did not see the hole like a Tony Dorsett or a big-time back. Like Adrian Peterson, he would see that hole, and then he'd say, you know what, it's closing, I'm going to cut to the left. And he does not do that. He sees the hole, takes the initiative hole, and then he finds contact.
Yep.
And that's, you know, today's NFL backs, you know, they don't have the long careers that they used to have. So you almost have to wonder what kind of wear and tear is on Murray's body after this season.
Well, yeah. I mean, he did have the broken hand. And you know what? All the props to you. You played through it and so forth. But did you play through it for your contract coming up? Mind you, this is the guy that did not want to sign a contract this year with the Dallas Cowboys. Yep. They could compare him to Emmitt Smith all they want, but Emmitt Smith was loyal enough to say, let's get this deal done. I'm going to be a Cowboy next year and many years to come. So that's what I'm saying. There's just no comparison between Emmitt Smith and Murray. Murray's a businessman. He knows he's got a couple years if he keeps running like this, but Emmitt Smith, He was the man. That's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the mindset of all these guys over the last, even, you know, the last 7-8 years is just, you know, it's not the same. The mindset's not the same. The franchise mindset's not the same.
Yeah.
I don't think so, at least. I mean, you know, it's more about the business end of it. It's more about the money. I'm not saying it hasn't always been, but I think it's more of that in the last 8 or 9 years than it ever has been. I mean, and I think half of it's because, you know, they're seeing huger and huger contracts.
I definitely agree. What do you got on this one?
A prime example of that is Chris Johnson in Tennessee. You know, he rushes for 2,000 yards in his contract year, gets the big extension, and barely made it to 1,000 yards the next season. Titans trade him, and he was a platoon system. You know, he was he split carries and with the Jets this year.
Doesn't it seem like that with big backs, they go somewhere else and they're never the same again? I mean, you do see that a lot more. You don't see a back. Here's a great example of a running back that should be in the Hall of Fame. Fuck, he smoked some weed. Big fucking deal, okay? He got in trouble for some weed, all right? But Ricky Williams, to me, everywhere this guy went, he produced. He went to New Orleans. He got drafted by New Orleans. He puts up some great goddamn numbers in New Orleans, okay?
Mm-hmm. Caught the ball out of the backfield, did a lot, very versatile for his size.
Outstanding, but what are they always picturing? Ricky Williams with New Orleans, him dressing up as a bride with, what's his name, Dicka. I mean, that's how they picture Ricky Williams in New Orleans. Then they trade him to Miami. He plays out of his mind in Miami. He plays great in Miami. This guy had 11 seasons in the NFL. One season in Canada, and you're telling me he doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame? He's in the top 28 among running backs. And I don't know how I remember that, but he's a top 28, top 30, let's say, but he's number 28. He's in the top 30 of running backs in the NFL all-time rushing. God damn. I mean, I don't know what the guy has to do. But I'm saying to you right now, it's hard to find a back like that.
Yeah.
I don't know if Murray's going to last. Maybe he knows he's not going to last. Maybe that's why he doesn't want a long-term right now with Dallas. Or he wants a long-term, but he wants the big money to back it up on the signing bonus and so forth. Anyway, that's what we got on that one, my friends. I'm really discouraged by the whole thing. I think,
but all in all, you know.
Yeah.
The weekend was good for the Ocho Man. You went big.
Like I said, though, the T.O. might have hit it something right there. Would I have traded all that for a Cowboy win? Well, maybe, yeah. Maybe I would have traded that because I really was looking forward to going up to Seattle. I think we could have won in Seattle.
Sure.
Now, this next week game, Seattle versus Green Bay or Green Bay going into Seattle, we all know what the fuck's going to happen there. I'll leave it at that.
Mm-hmm.
How about some basketball action here, man? Speaking of guys who are wanting to get out of contracts, how about Kevin Love? He's looking to opt out of a long-term deal with the Cleveland Cavaliers. And you know what? When these three hooked up, when you had Kevin Love, you had Irving, you had King James, I was thinking for sure that this is a better threesome then you had with Wade, Bosch, and James. What do you think on that one, Teal?
You know, the knock from the beginning on those three playing together was defense. Would they defend? Could they defend? Everybody knows that Love's a great rebounder, LeBron's a great all-around player, and Kyrie Irving's the young point guard that's next in line to be a great point guard in the NBA. But the question was, can they defend? And that's the big issue right now. They don't defend.
Cleveland, obviously, they're still thinking that they got something with Love. They're backing him up by saying he will be here for a long-term deal. I don't know. You know what? I'm a big Sixer fan, and I'm telling you right now, the Sixers took these guys down in Philadelphia, actually. How about that?
I thought about you when I saw the score of that game.
Oh, fuck. It was a great day. I mentioned it on my show last time. And you know what? Philly came back the following game, and they beat Brooklyn, too. How about that? My boys are back. Well, they're not back, but it's good to see them winning again. They're not in the cellar. They're a couple games behind Boston now to take another spot. Who the hell knows? It's a young team. Young teams need quality wins like that. They could always say, we beat Cleveland. Okay, so you didn't have James. But you know what? Here's the thing about that. Miami, they could have probably won without LeBron James a couple more games. You know what I'm saying? LeBron James to Cleveland is the backbone, is the spine of that team. If he's not there, they're not winning for some odd reason. What I'm saying to you, T.O. and Chris, is that you have the whole Miami thing to where Bosch and Wade could have taken the load and probably played maybe 500 the season.
Yep.
With these guys, they look like they suddenly become paraplegic without LeBron James. Are you guys seeing that?
I'm following you, and I'm curious if some of it has to do with you know, everybody always said the Heat was D Wade's team. You know, he was in Miami before. Those were his guys. Do you think there's a, you know, a lot of it has to do with the leadership that Wade provided for those Heat teams?
It could have very well been. It could have very well been. Maybe. But you know what? I never seen Wade really stand out before LeBron James. I mean, I always seen Wade as the quiet guy and so forth, and LeBron James was the one that was boosting people up and getting them all pumped. I just don't know what's going on in Cleveland, but this isn't going to be good. I just don't see these three as the last three in Miami. And we all compared and said, you know what, with Love on the team now, and then you got Irving, this is going to be a hell of a threesome here.
What else is interesting is LeBron has an opt-out at the end of the year.
Oh, what's that?
LeBron has an option out of his contract after this season.
Well, he may be kicking back looking at this shit and saying, what's going to happen with Love? And I don't know. Maybe he doesn't love Love after all.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah. And let's move on here to other things. We've got I've seen this. I cannot believe this bullshit. We got Miami University that's switching over to Adidas from Nike. Big fucking deal, right?
I was going to ask you about the social man.
Warren Sapp. I get
see what this guy did.
Yeah, he gets a bunch of shoes from Adidas saying, hey, these are Miami. And so he rips them up. He cuts them up, slices them up, and sends them back to Adidas saying, I'm part of Air Jordan. Or Jordan, no, not Air Jordan, Jesus, but he's Christ. Part of the Jordan
Jordan brand. Which is Nike at the end of the day.
Yeah, which is Nike. And I mean, come on, man.
You know, when you think of Miami, you think of Nike. You think of the championships and the flamboyant players. But it's a Nike school. It's a bold move by Adidas. You know, you saw the Warren Sapp. I saw Snoop Dogg got some stuff sent to him.
Well, he's all about Nike, though, isn't he?
That's what I thought. You know, big USC fan, big Nike guy. But what's interesting is his son is a big-time wide receiver out of he plays at Bishop Gorman in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting if there's any link between his son and the University of Miami.
Well, I just think that Warren Sapp carried that on. Just, you know, you don't even have to go public with that. And you see these guys. I guess you can't hide anything you do from the public nowadays. I mean, you can go to a restaurant, and they'll base everything on your fucking tip. They'll have a picture of your fucking tip.
How ridiculous is that?
That is kind of wacky. I mean, but you know what? Everyone thinks if you're making some jack, you ought to tip these fuckers pretty big time, too. Flacco, he had like a $200, $150 bill. No, he had a $200-something bill on the food, and he gave the waitress $150 on the tip.
Christ. What a guy!
No, and is he really doing that for the to show love to the waitress, or is he just doing that just to ease up so they don't fucking find anything on this guy?
I think that if we saw what the waitress looked like, we would probably have some answers.
Yeah, that might factor into it. Either that, or you know, he knows someone's going to report it.
Yeah, that's
he knows it's going to end up all over, you know, ESPN and TMZ and everywhere else. And all of a sudden, he's the greatest guy in the world.
That's what I'm saying.
Nah.
It's like those people that anonymously give money for a clinic or something. But we all know who the fuck it was.
Of course, they
know who it was.
Yep.
But they rather say they're anonymous, but they'll go around the corner and say, hey, it was me, by the way.
Yep.
So, that's another thing, too. The popularity, you're out there, people are wanting to see you, and you got to know how to handle the public. And
what's your feelings, though, on a waiter that reports a bad tip? I mean, what do you think about that? You know, you don't know if he had shitty service, if
Well, I got something. I got something. Once you brought that up, Tio, I got something that bothers the shit out of me. Is if I'm picking up a pizza, why the fuck is there a tip line on the pickup? I feel bad about that, and I don't want to give anything. I'll put like $8.99 for the pizza, but I'm picking the pizza up, man.
Yeah, and there's no one waiting on you. There's no one's one delivering on it to you. Yeah, I've got an issue with this too.
Yeah, don't even put that on there. Right. It should be an in-store type of thing. That's the total. Don't look at me like I'm cheap either. That's like going to pick up at a Chinese restaurant or something like that. You got a tip line underneath it. I'm like, what the hell is that on there for?
And you know what I've always wondered? Is this something where, you know, the reason it's like that is because it always prints out the same. It always has that line on it. Or is this something where someone decided, hey, you know, a huge percentage of the people who come in here, if they see the tip line, they're going to feel obligated to leave a tip.
Yeah. I have a problem with that. I've got another problem. Maybe it's buffets. Put it on there where we're giving $2 extra or something for her to pick up my plates or him to pick up my plates or my empty glasses. But you're not bringing me my food either. Even the soda, I'm filling up my own soda. I mean, I just don't know how I can leave you a $5 to $7 tip on that. I just don't know. Maybe I'm gonna have people just chiming in on the Ocho Man and bitching at me on this one, Tio.
And speaking of that, remember to go to the iTunes store, the podcast store, search for the Ocho Man Behind the Eight Ball. You can leave a review. You can leave a hopefully excellent review. 5-star review for the Ocho Man. If you have, something you want to ask, you can leave some comments, you can leave some questions. You can also reach the Ocho Man on Facebook, just anywhere on Facebook.
And that's Ocho Man together.
Yeah, just search for Ocho Man.
It's not two different Ocho than Man. Or
it's just Ocho Man together, O-C-H-O-M-A-N, all one word.
You know, I was checking that out. I seen some guy named Otto.
Yeah?
Otto 72. And they left me a sentence saying a comment. It was a great comment, but they called me Otto Man. And I'm like, what the
Otto
fuck?
Man.
Yeah, they call me Otto Man.
That's Ocho Man, O-C-H-O-M-A. And
you
know what?
That's what I'm saying. I'm Ocho Man, not I felt like an otter.
I've been scoping out the review section on iTunes every day.
Really?
Start to look at stuff. And, we're starting to see some excellent reviews, excellent comments. Everyone who's watching the show seems to like it. So it's good progress.
That's good stuff. What are you saying, Tio? I keep jumping in on you, babe.
Back to the tips real quick. Do you feel an obligation to tip more when you order a pizza or Chinese and it's colder outside?
No, if they're dropping the food off.
Yes, if they bring it to you and it's colder outside.
I feel like
bringing it to you, sure.
Yeah.
I don't have any issue if they're bringing it to you. If I'm stopping in to get it, And they're still asking me to leave a tip. Why? Who am I tipping?
But exactly.
Does the temperature influence the tip?
Sure.
No. The delivery man, I'm telling you right now, they're battling time. They're battling weather. I used to do it. I used to drive that damn pizza car. And
can we please have a story? Because I know there's probably a good story here.
Well, there was one time where they give us their own car. Okay, they had like 6 or 7 Chevys. They were a little red car. They don't even.
Who was this?
This was called Panteras.
I've heard of Panteras.
Well, and by the way, they had this fucking pizza called the Hunk. It was supposed to be a 7-pound pizza.
Jesus.
Bull fucking shit. We never got that up to 7 pounds. We got that up to 7, and guess what? The middle part would not be done.
Yep.
Everything was raw in the middle.
Who wants that?
The best we got this thing up to was 5 pounds. So when you seen this guy on TV back in, this was before your time, T.O., and possibly yours too, but in the late 80s, you'd see this guy going, The Hunk, I have a taste of the Hunk, and he'd hold his fucking pizza up, and it was 7-pound pizza, but there was no goddamn way that was 7 pounds. In any case, I worked here, and and my friends would be going to a basketball game or something like that. I needed cash, you know. I wasn't spoon-fed or any shit like that. So, you know, I worked there, and next thing you know, somehow I'd be in the car, and somehow I'd get the car to smoke a little bit, and I'd have to call Pantera's and say, hey, come pick your car up. I can't work with this. Something's wrong with it. And they'd know that I kept pushing the gas or some shit like this too much, or put it on second, or I don't know, man. But there was so many
tricks.
Stuff going on that I just didn't want to miss out. One time I even worked at a gas station named Gitcho's, okay? Yeah, it was, and their line was, get your gas at Gitcho's.
Oh, my God. See, stuff like that, it just doesn't exist anymore.
No.
You know what I mean? It's all QT.
It was full service.
It's all Amoco. Yeah, I mean, that doesn't, you don't see that.
So you pumped gas?
I pumped gas, but that was the easy part. The fucked up thing was checking that gauge on the air on the fucking tire, and I didn't know how to do that. So I'd get down on one knee, right? And so I'd make the sound. Now, headphones, be alert on this one, guys. I'd be like, I'd make this fucking silly sound with my mouth to think that I'm checking out their tire. And then I'd hop right back up like Steve Martin on the movie Jerk, and I'd give a big thumbs up to the driver, and I'd open the hood. Fuck, I didn't know what the hell I was looking at. I'd look around, and I'd pull the gauge, and I'd stick it back in, and I'd look through the side there, and again, I'd give him a big thumbs up. That fucking car could have had a meltdown two blocks away, but I give a shit. It was the full service, and that's what they paid for, and they paid extra, like, 17 to 20 cents. Now, I didn't mind the grandma that needed the gas. I'd fill her gas up and act like I'm doing all that bullshit, too, but when you had, like, back in those days, you had a Fiero.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Herbert Fieros.
Yeah, and they were the poor man's Maserati, sure, back then. And they'd pull up there, and this goofball, this cheesy-ass guy with those chip sunglasses, he'd have those on, and he'd say, fill it up regular, please, or some shit, regular unleaded. And I'd be, okay, how much, cheese dick? And, you know, and I'd go through the whole spill of me cleaning up and all that. So, you know, that was it back then. That's what we did.
It was a different world.
It was,
as we've talked about before, it was a different world.
But in any case, that's what we had back then. And speaking of back then, I loved tennis back then, too. I don't know how I just got into this. I thought of back then, when I watched a tennis match, it was usually Connors versus McEnroe. I mean, you had tradition back then, you know? And Roger Federer, Roger Federer, he got his 1,000th win. He got his 1,000th win yesterday.
That's
how about that?
That's a big one, man.
No, Ouch, I'm not a big tennis guy. So could you give me some type of measuring stick to other sports? Is that the equivalent of a 3,000th hit? Is that what would you compare that to?
1,000th career win right now. I would say it's a pretty well big. It's a big number. It's a big number. But I'm telling you right now, if he was back in the days of Ivan Lendl, Agassi, if he was back there with Jimmy Connors, if he was back there with these guys were fucking studs, man. Well, these guys made tennis, and each guy had its own, group, you know. I followed McEnroe. I was a big McEnroe fan because I hated the whole artsy-fartsy Wimbledon and all that. And then you had John McEnroe that would go in there and just flip everyone off, and he'd be the renegade. And that's what I wanted to watch. I love renegade. Speaking of renegades, Agassi called himself. He got into the, what was that? That camera was named Renegade, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The Canon Renegade, is that what it was?
I think that was what, he was jumping over cliffs and shit like that, taking pictures. I don't know how the hell they got that. But in any case, that's a pretty big number. He got his 1,000th career win. I guess it's a big thing in tennis. But I'm telling you right now, if he was back in my days, I don't know if he could have done it.
Yeah,
may not done it at all. I tell you what, fellas, I'm really relaxed right now after coming in this morning. I was really pissed off. I was pissed off at the world. I'm still pissed off at these refs.
I could see it on your face that you weren't happy after that result.
Fuck. How could anyone be happy? How could anyone be happy? Tonight,
I guess the Green Bay fans are, but that's...
Oh, yeah. Fuck them. Fuck them. They live upstairs in a cave somewhere in Wisconsin.
Heads.
That's all they have.
Yep.
I could have robbed that whole fucking town in football game. Honest to God, I could have robbed that whole fucking town with everything they have, and which wouldn't be anything. It'd be fucking probably one of those paddles with ball strapped on with a string. I'd probably get like 20 of those. I'd probably get someone's little wagon and shit like that. They don't have shit up there. They spend it all on their fucking season tickets and those plastic cheese things they wear on their heads.
Shots fired at the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah. Oh, fuck it. Who cares? Big game tonight. Big game tonight. National championship game. Well, what's your thoughts on that, Big T.O.? Who do you like here? Ohio State versus Oregon?
I think it has the makings to be a really exciting game.
Wow.
Two high-powered offenses. Who would have thought 6 months ago that we'd be talking about the national championship game and there not be an SEC team involved?
Don't mention that. Don't mention that. I'm an SEC man myself. I got a Missouri Tiger team that got cold-cocked by SEC, but that's another story. Tonight, the magic number for the Ocho Man is 74. 74 is the over and under. I really like this one going a big-time score on this one. I got this one being a 45-38 game. Now, the spread on this one is 6. Oregon's giving up 6 to Ohio State. But I'm telling you right now, I don't really like the spread here because that's what I'm liking, 6 to 8 points. So it's going to be right around that area. I don't want to bite any fingernails. I'm just going to kick back with my popcorn and enjoy this game here. There's going to be a lot of scoring. Again, 45-38 is what I'm looking on this one.
Did you see that Oregon's number 2 receiver was suspended for the matchup this weekend?
Of course I seen that. What the hell are you? I just think that there's a lot of action going down on this one. And 74, Vegas is not dumb here. The number's big. I definitely see this one being a high-scoring game. I'm definitely seeing Oregon right now. They're going to be pounding. They're going to be pounding. This quarterback is unreal here. I think he's going to have a great game. I think Ohio State, they're not going to – who would have thought them beating the SEC champion, Alabama? That's another thing, too. You got your third-string quarterback? Not so fast, my friend, because a third-string quarterback at Ohio State is probably a number one starter probably at my school at Mizzou. So, am I right there, Chris?
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right.
I mean, it's Jesus Christ. This is going to be a big scoring game, my friends, and that's what I'm seeing
here.
It's
going to be exciting.
45-38 is what I got on this one.
Lock that in. If you look at the results from last weekend, you'll go lock that in.
Yeah, just kick back. Yeah, you know what? Kick back with your dog and enjoy this beautiful game. In my case, I'm going to kick back with my kids constantly putting on Nickelodeon, and I got to go to another TV. Then the one will take over that goddamn TV.
How many do you got? How many TVs?
I got 4 TVs and 1 backup that the wife doesn't know where the hell that's at.
You got to have the backup.
Yeah, I got my little secret getaway there in the closet. Oh, fuck, yep. She knows now where the hell it is.
Well, hopefully she doesn't listen.
In any case, she probably doesn't. She doesn't give a shit about me.
What does she think about the podcast? Has she heard it?
You know, I told her about the podcast with the Ocho Man, and the right afterwards was, did you take the trash out? Yeah, I took the trash out. I took it out. Okay.
Homie, don't play that.
Yeah, homie, don't play that. And that's what I got to deal with at home.
Did your wife watch the Cowboys game with you yesterday?
You know what? Her old man and...
Are they still here?
Yeah, they're still here.
Jesus Christ.
Well, I tell you what. Here's the thing. The old man, he kicked back on the couch, and he's been really getting into football, and he just can't believe the name football. And he keeps telling my mother-in-law, it's football. And she's like, no. Football is soccer. And I'm like, man, I came up with a brilliant fucking answer on that one. I turned around and said, no. Back in the late 1800s, early 19. Now, by the way, I don't know shit that I'm saying right now. But I told her, the football was a big round thing that they ran the ball with. They didn't pass them. They didn't pass this thing around. It was basically running up and down the field, and that's how they got the name football, because of the running. It wasn't about kicking. It was mostly about running the.
Yep.
And more I thought about it, maybe I got something on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you might have.
And that's the way it is.
Well, what do you think?
I like it.
That could have happened.
And I say we stick with that.
It sounds like it worked.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, football, they're running the ball. It's like a cloud of smoke. Boom, next thing you know, they're just moving right down the field. Everything's moving. So that's what I think the football originated, just by the whole notion of it. Thank you. Thank you very much. Tonight we got some NHL action that the Ocho Man likes as well. And it's a weird night too, fellas, because tonight I'm just hitting the over and unders. I'm not picking any games here. I'm not picking any one teams or anything like that, but I like what I'm seeing on the over and unders. On football, on the college side, I like the 74. I like that to be over on that one. Colorado versus Washington tonight. The spread is 5.5. Well, it's always 5.5 or 6 goals. And I like this one on the over side. I really think Colorado will put up a couple goals here. Washington will put up 3-4 goals. I'm looking at this one being a 7 goal over to 5.5. And then on the other game, it's a West Coast game. I really like this one on the underside with Los Angeles taking on Toronto, Toronto visiting L.A. And I'm looking at this one being a 2-1 type of game, 2-0 type of game here. Sure. I don't see this one going over 5.5, so I like this one on the under. So we've got a big college play, over to 74. We got a Colorado versus Washington and NHL. I like the over here. And our under play is the L.A. Kings against Toronto, and I like the under on this one being 5.5. And that's what we got there. And one last news that I like to pass along to you guys out there is Pacquiao and Mayweather are starting to talk. Didn't I bring this up to you, Chris?
It up. This was last week on Thursday or Friday.
I told you these guys would be talking, and they're talking about getting something set on paper, you know, something written down by the end of January for a big coming year of boxing.
Let's get ready. Well, you know, they need to get something down in writing because they have to figure out where they're going to fight and when they're going to fight. You know, Floyd Mayweather has fought, I believe, the last 3 or 4 years on the weekend of Cinco de Mayo. You know, he refers to it as Cinco de Mayweather.
No shit.
The big issue is going to be, will they fill up Jerry World? Will they fight in Dallas? Or will they do it at MGM?
If I know Mayweather, he's going to go where he gets that, where he smells that green.
Yeah.
Greenalicious.
Yeah, wherever he's going to end up with more money.
That's it. And probably, we're looking at each fighter here. Probably Mayweather's going to get about $110 million, $130 million for this one. And we're looking at Pacquiao, which he'll probably make a humble $85 million, $90
million. Not even worth his time.
I mean, poor Pacquiao. He's not going to be making the $130 million.
The guy's going to have to hitchhike home.
Yeah.
So who do you think will win this fight?
Well, it's too early, my friend. It's too early to talk like that. I'm not giving anything up. I like Pacquiao.
You like Pacquiao.
Has Mayweather ever, has he been in the ring with anyone who is similar to Manny Pacquiao? You know, anyone?
You know, he beat De La Hoya, who Manny had some fights with. But it was at different ends of the career.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
The one common opponent is Marquez, mm-hmm. who Floyd Mayweather dispatched of fairly easily.
Mm-hmm.
And
I feel like again, what time though? Fairly easily.
This was around the same time, within 2 years of each other.
Okay,
two years. And Marquez knocked out Pacquiao.
Well, I also seen which fight was that one though? That was the third one.
The third one. They've had some amazing fights.
Oh, I seen. Did I tell you this, Chris? Last week, did I mention I seen a Pacquiao Marquez?
Yeah, yeah, I think he.
Well, I was in Vegas to see that fight.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I told you that one. What a hell of a fight that was.
Yeah, you saw Pacquiao and Morales also, I believe.
I that's the one I've seen as well.
Yeah. I say if this one happens, if this happens, if, you know, Floyd Mayweather, and this actually goes down, I say we bring the whole Ocho Man podcast out to wherever the fight is.
Oh, that would
be
great.
We do the Ocho Man podcast live at the Pacquiao Mayweather fight.
That would be sweet.
That would be a hell of a podcast, right?
Two more questions for you around this fight. What type of pay-per-view number do you think it does? And how many people, if they do have it in Dallas, how many people do you think show up? What do you think the attendance number
is? Well, what do we got? The crowd being 110 or 105?
I mean, do they rope anything off? Do they leave it all open?
Yeah, because they could, I mean, hell, they could squeeze even more in than that because, you know, you don't have to have the whole field. Yeah. Yeah.
You're going to see about 90,000 strong for this fight, and you would see Jerry's fucking TV tron there. That's the size of a football field all around. I bet people would love to come to this event here.
I would like to come to this event.
Yeah, it would be the big talk. I really think that that would be a great fight to watch. And you know what? It could revive boxing.
It could.
Well, that's the thing. It needs this.
It really does. Boxing needs this. Now, Chris and Tio, if this time this shit doesn't go down, there's going to be some heads rolling on this one. I think credibility of boxing depends on these two getting in the ring and settling this once and for all, and you're going to have a 50-50 crowd here.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be split right down the middle, and who knows, man. This is going to be a one that – and people are saying, well, they're aged. They're not the same anymore. Bullshit. These two get in the ring, there's going to be something settled.
They're still 1-2 on the pound-for-pound rankings. You know, at the end of the day, some of the attention has went away from them, but they are who they are. They're both huge stars throughout the world. And, you know, I believe that boxing needs a trilogy.
Well, I definitely agree with you. I definitely agree with you. All right, my friends, that's what I got this week. It's again, tonight I've got these two NHL plays on the overside, and I got the over on the big NCAA championship game in football. It was 74. That's the magic number. And rest of the week, I will not be in. I'm heading out of town here. I'm going to South America to check out some things, check out some sites at the Ocho Man, what I'll be doing down there. So I will be gone this entire week. I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast. Tune in for me next week. I think it's going to be live again. I'll have some great information, maybe some nice tips again that we could use productively as we go find our man to make a play. And again, if you guys are in Mexico and in Peru, we always got Ocho.com for you guys to go out there and make your plays at Ocho.com. Do not forget that. That's a big sponsor of mine. They pay my bills right now. And our podcast here at Ocho Man Behind the 8-Ball, look for us. Leave a little review, a little comment. How about show some love here, my friends. Show some love.
Share it with your friends.
Share it with your friends. Facebook. More you guys share it, the better we have everything lined up, and you know what? We'll have some special guests for you guys. We'll have some money. We'll have some funds. How about that?
Yeah.
All right. So that's our show from the Ocho Man, T.O., Chris. We are out of here, my friends.
It ain't over now. Because when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Who's with me? Let's go! Come on!
You're listening to The Ocho Man, Behind the 8-Ball, only on Ignotainment.